May I speak to you in the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sanctifies us. Amen. Please sit down. Steve Jubb was here on Friday. Steve oversees Greenwich Council's cemeteries and churchyards. He was here to check out the paving stones that need levelling in the churchyard and the headstones that are leaning next to Charlton Church Lane. Steve spends a lot of his life in cemeteries and churchyards, and we got talking about all that and how it's sad when names on tombstones fade with age, until in the end you can't see whose life is marked there anymore. Go into the memorial garden round the back of our church and there are lots of fresh flowers brought by the loved ones of the more recently deceased. They're still remembered, still mourned. But as generations pass and time moves on, the people commemorated here are forgotten. The words of the commendation at a burial come to mind, words from the Psalms. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it is gone, and its place knows it no more. We are not remembered forever on this earth. The Passion narrative we have just heard again ends at a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea wraps Christ's body in a linen cloth and lays it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolls a stone against the door of the tomb. It is a sorry end to a dramatic tale. When we hear the events of Holy Week and laid out like this, it brings it home just what a roller coaster those days were. A week of things unraveling, of dreams being shattered, a week of sickness in the pit of the stomach, and of desperate shame. A week of broken promises and humiliation. A week of degradation and cruelty. A week of misunderstanding and hope evaporating. A week of stress and self-hatred. A week of breaking apart and scattering. The tables are turned, and the man who held out such promise was the focus of such love and hope, is overwhelmed by more powerful forces. In the story we've just heard, the happy ending so anticipated doesn't work out, and Jesus ends up dying a criminal's death. For his followers, it was the ultimate bad dream, and for Jesus himself, a time of utter desolation. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You can't deny, though, that Jesus' betrayal, arrest, trial, and crucifixion is a compelling story. There really is never a dull moment, from the plotting behind closed doors to the betrayal of one of his closest friends, from the disciple who promises the world but fails to deliver, to the woman whose act of anointing stands out as a strange but beautiful thing. From the farewell supper to the friends too tired or too drunk or too insensitive to keep Jesus company. From the spitting and cursing to one of the cruelest forms of execution ever invented. From the bystander roped in to carry the cross to the Marys, always there, brave enough not to turn away from Christ's pain or their own. The story has got it all: drama, pathos, shock, and horror. It's gripping, material to put the crowds on the edge of their seats. We tell the story at the start of Holy Week, and we'll tell it again on Friday, just like we told it this time last year and will do this time next. It's a compelling narrative, great entertainment, But we don't tell it to entertain. We don't tell it to educate ourselves about the life of one of the great characters of history, Jesus of Nazareth. We don't even tell it in order to reflect on the big issues of life and death. It is a gripping story, worth retelling and with engaging characters, but we're not retelling it as the tale of a fascinating but tragic figure. Nor are we telling the story to mourn a man we admire but who died 2,000 years ago. We're not consumers titillated by the story and then ready to move on to another one. No, this is a story we'll return to again and again because we've taken this story on. At a very deep, profound level, it's become ours. We've got images of Jesus hung on a cross around our walls here. Some of us have them around our necks. And in a little while, we'll reenact that farewell supper when Christ took a loaf of bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, "This is my body." And when he blessed and shared a cup of wine, telling them it was his blood poured out for many. For us, this is personal. Look around you. We tell this tale in a place dedicated to the worship of a man who ended up dying a criminal's death. But when we speak of him, it's in the present tense. And when his name is mentioned, we talk not just about him, but to him. So how did we get here? How have we moved so far from a narrative of failure and death? How have we ended up worshipping as God a man at the heart of such a story of unravelling disaster as the one we've just heard? As we see from the gravestones in our churchyard, even the most dearly loved pass from memory in time. And we can no longer retrieve their names, let alone their stories. What's so different about Jesus, now stone cold dead in the tomb? One answer to that question can be found in the reflection that has happened since those days about the nature of the man. It's hard. More than that, it's impossible to think of another character in history who could have conducted themselves in the way our Lord did. As St. Paul put it in the letter to the Philippians, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. A perfect model of dignity, compassion, justice, truth, and genuine strength. The contrast is stark when we compare his behaviour in those most testing days to the behaviour of others. The way he conducted himself led people to conclusions that no other human could have done that, only a human who is God. And the other reason this whole story of failure has become for us something completely different is because we know it didn't end at the tomb. We read the story through a very different lens, one we will, of course, be celebrating this time next week. When we hear the narrative of Christ's passion, we may relive the pain of the events as they unfold, but we know that other truth too, that death didn't have the last word. That his father had not forsaken him. And that knowledge puts the story of shame into a completely different light. Because all that horror, pain, and apparent failure was just what Jesus had to go through in order to overcome it. Whether our mortal remains end up in a tomb, a hole in the ground, scattered at sea or on land, eventually the memory of us will fade on this earth. But because of the messy, excruciating events of Holy Week and the victory we'll be celebrating this time next week, we will live on in a much better place. Because what the man at the centre of this tale of disaster was in fact doing was making space for all of us in his everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Amen.